The book of Ecclesiastes, find chapter number 3, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. This morning I announced the title of tonight's sermon, and it is this: the scriptural way to have fun. The scriptural way to have fun. You know, I think God tells us how to do everything, and that's because he's interested in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 1, and if you would, please stand with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to start with verse number 1. The Bible says this: to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Notice there in verse number 4, the Bible says there is a time to laugh. In other words, God said there's something about this thing of laughter and fun and joy. It has a timing to it. There are times when it's not time to laugh. And, of course, it compares. It said there's a time of mourning. That's not necessarily a time of laughter. But there is a time to have fun and to enjoy yourselves. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I had a doctor friend say this to me one time. He said, if you can't take a joke, you probably end up needing to take medicine somewhere in your life for that. And honestly, in this day and age, they're doing everything under the sun to deal with their emotions. If we'd just do what the Bible said, our emotions would be fine. We'd be fine. And let's pray together. Father, bless us tonight. You know the style of sermon or truth this is. I pray that you'd get glory to yourself in it. And help us to remember that you created our emotions. And one of those emotions would be joy or fun or laughter. And help us to see it for what it really is tonight. Bless us with thy presence, Spirit of God. Even though the sermon is a light sermon, a fun sermon, I pray, God, that your Spirit would control what's said and done in this place this night. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. You know, I've got to thinking of it over and over again. Do you know that the Bible teaches that God laughs? Now, we may not think that, but the Bible teaches it. In Psalm chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Now, I don't spend most of my time in thinking of God, thinking about God sitting in heaven and laughing. But, according to the Bible, there are times when God laughs. I don't know what it sounds like when God laughs. But boy, there are a lot of different kinds of laughter. You know, I get a kick out of hearing people laugh. You get around some people, they get to laughing, and their laughter is so maybe odd or weird or strange that it's enough to make you laugh. Now, with my wife, and she's not here tonight, so I get to say this, but she gets laughing hard, she snorts. And it is hilarious. She'll get to laughing and she gets sucking air in. And it's worth making her laugh just to hear her snort when she laughs. But the Bible said there, God laughs. In Psalm chapter 59, verse number 8, I think it is, the Bible says this. It says, but thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them. And again, now, some of this laughter, I think it's when some of God's enemies are put down and there's a bit of lightness or there's that laughter, but the Bible teaches that God actually laughs. In Psalm chapter 37, verse number 13, it says this. It says, the Lord shall laugh at him. Again, we've seen three times God uses the term laugh and in reference to himself. And I have to tell you, I'll tell you again, I have not spent my life thinking about God laughing. I've not spent my life thinking about God being in heaven laughing. I think better seeing him up there with lightning bolts, you know, and all that sort of a thing. But at the same time, here it teaches that God laughs. And when we get to heaven, I think there's going to be some wonderful things when we get there. There's going to be so many things in heaven that are fantastic that we never even thought of. You're going to get there and say, I never thought of that. I never thought we would see that or get to know that. But heaven is going to be an amazing place. And I think one of the things that will happen when we get there, we'll get to see and we'll get to hear God laugh. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 26, it says this. It says, It says, I also will laugh at your calamity. Now, that's not a laughter joy, but again, we see a reference to God in the Bible, and we see that he is laughing. I'll read another verse to you. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, it uses these words. It says, about halfway through the verse, it says, for this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I think we ought to be pleased with whatever brings joy to God, ought to bring joy to us. But I've just got to tell you, when I get to thinking about this thing of laughter, I think I can't wait to get to heaven. I can't wait to hear God laugh. I think it's an important thing. Now, folks, don't you let the devil deceive you into believing that if you're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist that you can't have fun in life. That's not true. Your fun's just not like the world's fun. You don't have to wake up Sunday morning regretting what you did on Saturday night. And your laughter it's clean. It's wholesome. But I don't feel like I was saved when I was in my teenage years. I really don't feel like I missed a whole lot. I've had a pretty good time in life. I've enjoyed myself. I don't feel like being what I am has robbed me of joy and happiness. It has multiplied my joy. I think I've laughed more, plus I've laughed without regret since I've been saved. And when we get to heaven, we're going to hear God laugh. And don't forget this. The God who created the earth also created laughter. The God who created the moon also created laughter. The God who flung the stars into space created laughter. The universe is managed by a God that also has a sense of humor. If you don't believe it, just look at Tyler's face. I thank God, yeah, I get more amens out of that, Tyler, than I got out of all those dynamic sermons. We're just going to talk for a little while. This won't be one of those sermons that will go down in history like Payday Someday or Fresh Oil. I just want to talk about the scriptural way to have fun. I'm going to tell you a story. When I was in Bible college, and many of you know, I worked for many years as a machinist, and I worked at a place where we made firefighting equipment. And a man worked with me there. We were both Bible college students. We had about a 45-minute drive from the shop where we worked back to Bible college, where we lived in the dormitories. And we made firefighting equipment. And I have to tell you, the firefighting nozzles that we handled, they were large. Had two handles on it that you would grab with two hands, and the barrel would be about this big along around, and it was about that long. And the big firefighting hose is actually a pretty big hose, big coupling that they would screw on it, but you'd grab a hold of it with both hands and brace yourself. You know, it almost looked like a bazooka, to be honest. Well, we were at work, and my buddy Mike, he the next day at college for speech class was going to give a speech, and he was going to tell them about what he did for a living making this firefighting equipment. Well, we got off work at 12 o'clock. By the time we'd get ready to head home, it was 12:30 at night. This particular night, it was rainy. This particular night, it was foggy. I was driving. Mike was in the passenger seat of my car. And we were a couple stupid college-age kids. And so we're driving home. And Mike, he brought home one of the firefighting nozzles because he was going to use it as a prop in the speech the next day. So we're driving up the road. And all of a sudden, I see Mike roll down his window. And when he rolls down his window, he reaches in the back seat and he pulls that firefighting nozzle up. And he starts aiming it, and this was in near Valparaiso, Indiana. There were cows everywhere on each side, you know, cows and cornfield. And so we're riding up the road, and all of a sudden I see him point the firefighting nozzle out the window, and he goes, boom! He said, I shot a cow. We're driving up the road. We come by and another one, and he does that, and I think, oh, this is starting to get fun. So, it was rainy. It was foggy. He goes to shoot at a cow, and so every time he'd pull the trigger. You know, there wasn't a trigger and it wasn't a bazooka, but that's what we were doing. He would pull the trigger and I would shake the steering wheel of the car and the car would go over the place and I'd flash the lights, you know, like there's repercussion from the bazooka that we just shot. And we were just having a good time. And then I'd swerve a little bit so he could get a shot at the next cow. You know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Who in the world's out there at 1 o'clock in the morning while you're blowing away cows with your fake bazooka and your best friend? And he'd take a shot and I'd look over and he'd get this big old smile on his face and he'd say, "Hamburger!" A boom! And he'd shoot it again and I'd shake that steering wheel and we would flash the lights and he kept on blowing away cows. And again, who are you going to bother? Who's going to be out there at that time in the morning other than... weren't cows, there were bears. They call them Smokey the Bear. And we're going up the road, and all of a sudden, I see in the fog and the rain behind me a pair of lights click on from off the side of the road, and it wasn't two people making out. The next thing you know, the lights come on, and he pulls us over. But my buddy, he's still blowing away cows. So he's got this bazooka out the window, and I hear him say, "A big one, a big one, a Big Mac." And I mean, boom, and I didn't shake the car anymore. But here's where it got rough. This police officer, and I know he's wondering, so you know, that area is not too far from Chicago. There's some real wackos up there. And this police officer, I'm sure he's dealt with some pretty wild situations. So he pulls up behind us, and I pull over, and my buddy's still hanging out the window with his big water gun. And the police officer, he puts floodlights on us. He gets on his megaphone or speaker and he says, "Driver of the car, let me see your hands." My hands? It's a squirt gun. We're not doing anything. He says, "Let me see your hands." He said, "Now slowly take your left hand down, open the door, step out of the car. You're going to come to the back of the car and you're going to spread eagle." When I got out of the car, finally the dust and everything is settling. This guy's got his gun pulled on me. And Mike is hanging out the window. He's over there going, "One more, one more." I'm thinking, "Don't do that." I said, "Mikey's got his gun out." You wouldn't believe when the guy, I had to go back to his car. He said, what are you doing? "Sure, I'm a Bible college student." He said, right. "It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Do you understand that you were all over the road?" I said, "Yes, sir, but that was on purpose." He said, "Right." He said, "You were flashing your lights." I said, "I know." He said, "Your friend is drunk, hanging out the window." I said, "Sir, honestly, if you would come to the car," he said, "I'm going to deal with him in just a moment. What are you doing?" And finally, he realized it. That's a pretty weird story to be told at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're a police officer and you don't know what you're getting into. Oh, but now, I've thought about that over and over again. We didn't intend any harm by it. We were having fun. And I have laughed and laughed and laughed. Every time I tell that story, I think of something else that happened. And there were some pretty weird things that happened in regard to that. I'll never forget. We were both in our car, and he is back in his car. And the last thing the police officer said to me, he said, "Young man, I would recommend you go straight home tonight. Because if anybody else pulls you over, it's not going to turn out this way." And he was very gracious, but he was a little scared of us at first. Listen, we didn't do anything wrong. We weren't drunk. We weren't high. We weren't out destroying anything. But we laughed and we carried on. You know, folks, if you would work at it, there have been a lot of things that have happened to you in your life that you could enjoy, that you could laugh at. We don't have to have what the world has to keep us entertained. Boy, the humor, the comedy of this generation is filthy. It's just filthy. But we need to laugh and we need to have a good time. Again, may I remind you, I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, King James Bible, separated Baptist. And I'm going to preach hard and we're going to have standards and we're going to have strong beliefs. But folks, that doesn't mean you have to be a jerk. And that doesn't mean that you have to give up all the enjoyments of life. There are fun, simple things in life that we can enjoy. I hate to think that the world would look at us and we're always morbid and we're always dry and we're always serious. The truth is, Christians have more and better fun than the world ever does, and they ought to see some of our joy. They ought to see it. Now, I'm going to apply this thought of even our fun, our laughter, it ought to be guided by the Scripture. Let me give you some ideas about that. First of all, scriptural fun should never cost you your testimony. It should never cost you your testimony. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, mentions to us a great crowd or cloud of witnesses. I think from heaven they watch us, but I think also down here on earth people watch us. I think you ought to have fun in life. I think young people, go ahead and have a good time. But wait a minute, don't jeopardize your testimony. There's someone you represent. Listen, I want to be careful in life that, folks, I represent you. When people think of the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, they will think of Pastor Owens. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to jeopardize the testimony that our church has. You shouldn't want to do that. We represent the Lord. Our fun, our laughter, the things that we enjoy life, go ahead and enjoy them. But do not jeopardize. Do not risk your testimony just to have fun. Don't do things that would hurt the church. You know, teenagers, when you're working out on the bus route, maybe you're on a youth activity, you can have some fun on the bus. But I'll tell you this, it's not fun if you're making faces and doing rude things to people driving up the road. You know, so you're looking out the window and you're making faces or you're being rude to some lady or some man that's in a vehicle on the road with you. You got to understand something. They read the name of our church on the side of that bus, and if they don't understand, now we've had some fun and you might think that was funny, but we've jeopardized our testimony. They may go somewhere and say, you know what, I just seen a whole busload of young people and it was a church bus. It's at Twin Rivers Baptist Church out there, but the kids were all being rude to us as we are driving up the road. Keep in mind your testimony while you're having fun. Don't hurt your family's name while you're having fun. Don't hurt the church's name while you're having fun. Don't hurt the Lord's name while you're having fun. I would say this, not just to the teenagers, adults. Sometimes it's okay to have a little fun at work. Now, I think the people that can have fun at work are the productive people, the people that get the job done. The lazy rascals that never do anything and practical jokes about the only productivity they have all day, I think they probably just need to knock it off and work hard. But sometimes at work there can be a little bit of fun, maybe a little practical joke. But be careful, a practical joke that destroys the boss's equipment or that hinders production, now we're having fun at the expense of our testimony. And so, have some fun, but don't risk your testimony to have fun. Secondly, I think scriptural fun is okay, but not at the expense of your testimony, but not at the expense of others. Others. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." But those first few words are, "Be ye kind one to another." Now, folks, we have fun, and it's good to have fun. And you can have some fun with your friends. But listen, there are sometimes we have fun at somebody else's expense, and when we do, we hurt them. And I don't think God ever intended for us to have fun. I don't think God ever intended for us to be laughing at people if we've hurt someone. I don't think that's how God wants it done. For instance, you ought to thank God if you've learned something about keeping yourself clean and bathing yourself. And that's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you, when you come across somebody that's not learned personal hygiene, maybe they don't smell good, maybe their clothes are not kept like they should, I don't think God would ever want you laughing at or mocking someone that they were not trained on how to attend to their own personal hygiene. You can thank God that mom and dad taught you to brush your teeth once a week, whether they need them or not. You can thank God that God told you or your parents helped you to know how to comb your hair or how to press your clothes, how to coordinate your clothes. But let me tell you something. You know, there are really people out there that have not been taught that. They've not been taught that. And if you mock them, if you tease them, now you're having fun and you're laughing. Oh, but be careful. You're laughing and your fun is at somebody else's expense. And when it's like that, it becomes damaging. Like I said, don't damage your testimony while you're having fun. And then don't damage somebody to have fun. in our welfare society, this welfare philosophy, we want somebody else to pay for everything, all the way down to our fun. It doesn't bother us that somebody else pays the price for us to get a laugh. Be very, very careful with that. You could drive people away from Jesus Christ. Folks, in a church like ours, we go out and we reach people. It doesn't matter what your financial status, you're welcome in our church. If you don't have a penny, you're welcome in our church. If you're a millionaire, you're double dog welcome in our church. But honestly, we're gonna go out and we're gonna reach people that they don't have money. We're gonna reach kids that don't have a dad living at home, and reach kids that they don't live with mom and dad. They live with a grandparent. Their parents gave them up. We're gonna reach and we're gonna find people like that. We're not against finding someone that's been living on the street and on purpose bring them to our church. We're for that. We're going to reach everybody. We're going to try to help everybody. But boy, if we bring them, you have to be very careful. There'll be some people, and you're going to meet people in the right kind of an old-fashioned Baptist church. You're going to see some people that could have some oddities. They may act a little odd. Do you know something? Jesus died for them. Jesus loves them, and we love them. And I want us to have fun in our life, but let's not ever hurt somebody. And let's not let our fun be at their expense. That of one's hygiene. That of one's race. You know, folks, you're sitting in a church when we sing red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. We're not just singing a song. We believe that. We believe that. Souls have no color. And I believe that everybody's to be treated with dignity and everybody is to be loved. And you making fun of someone because they're red, yellow, black, or white, that's out in this church. I don't think that's funny, and I don't think we ought to do that. There are other ways to have fun. But when we hurt somebody with our fun, then we've done something that I think is very, very unscriptural. Only have fun when it's not costing you your testimony. Have fun when it's not going to cost someone else where you could hurt them or you could hurt their emotions. Hey, you brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters can be pretty cruel to each other sometimes. I want to tell you, it ought to be, you older brothers and you older sisters, you ought to want to let your little brothers and sisters grow up, and you ought to want to be their hero, not a heel. And sometimes you can mock and tease a little brother and sister. You ever heard someone say, my brother or my sister gave me a complex? In other words, I got teased and I got mocked and I got teased and I got mocked and I got picked on and I got mocked and they laughed at me and laughed at me. I think we're all of great value to God, but you can minimize someone's self-worth if you're not careful by mocking and teasing about things that you really shouldn't mock and tease about. There are ways to have fun. I was a youth director for years. I like being a youth director. Brother Elswick gets to be youth director here, but if he ever wants to switch jobs, we can do it. Because all Elswick has to do is go around and play and go to activities and have ice cream and stuff like that. But I enjoyed being a youth director. Some of you have heard me tell this story. There's a great game you can play. Now, once I tell you about it, you all won't be able to be the victim of the game, but it can be a lot of fun. What you do is you have two people, and you have a caramel apple eating contest. And we're coming along the time of year where this comes in real handy because of the harvest time. So you get these two caramel apples, and you get two people, and you tell them what you're going to do. We've got two caramel apples down at the end of the room. They're both on a table. When I say go, you're both going to run down. You grab your caramel apple. The first one to eat their caramel apple completely, you're the winner. The only thing is, you sneak into one of those an onion, so it's a caramel onion. Folks, it's funny. It's funny. It's fantastic. And if you get, hey, and if you can get a guy that's just totally puffed up, full of pride, to where you pump him up. You say, man, don't let anything stop you. You're not going to let a girl beat you, are you? You're not going to let a girl beat you, are you? You're not, no, I won't let a girl beat you. What, you woof it down. You woof. You go, you eat. You don't back off. You don't let anything stop you. I got it. I'm ready to go. He'll go down and eat half that apple before he goes. That's fun. That's funner than giving your dog peanut butter. You ever gave your dog peanut butter? Nothing like that. It's just like giving your mother-in-law peanut butter. I'll give you another one. And this is a great one, too. It's an ice cream eating contest. And what you do, again, you get two bowls with a great big old dip of ice cream. and you tell two people they're going to compete, you're going to run down, and when I say go, you run down, you got to get all your ice cream, you eat it, and the first one to have all your ice cream gone, you win. And again, you get that cocky kid in the youth department, you know, tries to strut and impress everybody. He thinks he's God's gift to the women. And you tell him, say, you're not going to let a girl beat you. No. You're not going to let a girl beat you. No. I said, you know what's going to happen? She's going to go down there and she's going to take her spoon and put her little finger out and she's going to eat like this. I said, let me tell you what you do, buddy. You go down there like a man. You go down there and you grab the dip of ice cream with one hand and you put it all in your mouth at one time. Can you do this? I can do it. You're going to beat her. I'm going to beat her. She's this tall. I'm going to beat her. So, I say, get ready. On your mark. Get set. Go. He runs down. She gets her finger out and her little spoon. He grabs that big old dip of lard that he doesn't realize is not vanilla ice cream. I was a good youth director. I knew how to entertain my kids. I was at a youth conference one time, and I said, I've got $20 here. I've got $20, and I will give you $20 if you'll let me crack two eggs on your head. Anybody want to do it? And they come up right away. So the guy come up. I took out the two eggs. I cracked the egg on his head, and I said, that's it. I'm done. So why'd you do that? Well, I had to give him the 20 if I cracked two eggs on his head. I ain't no dummy. I just want to make somebody, I want to make sure got an egg cracked on their head. Young people, if Brother Owens ever becomes your youth director, just watch out. You just watch out. You know, and everything we just talked about, it's clean fun. You don't have to go out and get drunk. You don't have to go out and get high. You don't have to go out and rob a bank to try to have fun. You just don't do it at the expense of the wrong thing. Let me say this also. Scriptural fun is not at the expense of your future. Now don't go have fun where you hurt somebody. Don't have fun where you hurt your church. Don't have fun where you hurt your future. The Bible says in Galatians 5:1, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Sometimes we sell out and we hurt our futures by having fun. And again, you just have to deal with the fact that I know people that they want to go off to a state college because they're going to go have fun at college. Now, just so you all know, you're supposed to go to college to learn. And parents, if you're stupid, wake up. Co-ed dormitories in the state colleges, that's pretty bad fun. But young people, they'll grow up and they've got this desire. I'm going to go off to the university of such and such. And they're looking forward to going and partying and having a good time. And I'm just here to warn you folks, you're not supposed to have fun that could jeopardize your future. I don't necessarily think the military is the best thing for everybody. I think you better be very, very careful what you decide to do with yourself. You say, well, I'm going to go to the military because a kid told me this, and you've all heard me say this before. But he told me, he said, I am so sick and tired of having my mom and dad tell me what to do. I want some freedom. And Brother Owens, I'm going to join the Marines. Because I just want to get out from underneath my mom and dad. They won't let me have any fun. Now, part of me wanted to say, go for it, sucker. Just go for it. When your drill sergeant is spitting in your face, buddy, you're going to wish you had your mama back. I'll guarantee you. But I want to have fun. I have a friend that when he was in high school, he was a good football player. And he ended up going to play for the Atlanta Falcons, and it almost destroyed him. I had another friend that went to play with Denver Broncos because they wanted to play. I want to play football. I want to play football. Do you know that if you become a professional athlete, you won't go to church anymore? You do know they play on Sunday, don't you? Well, that sounds like fun. Listen, I want to date him or I want to date her because it sounds fun. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where the Bible teaches you date someone because it sounds fun. this is a serious thing. This thing of finding a mate is a big deal. It's not all about fun. And today, Hollywood has cursed us with this friends with benefits philosophy that's out of hell and wrong and wicked and vile. Now, I think you ought to marry someone that has some levity in their life and that can laugh a little bit. But I don't think dating, you know, they had a game on television for years called the dating game. Just so you know, dating's not a game. It's not a game at all. You shouldn't date anybody that you wouldn't marry. That means you get right down to it and you get real, real serious. And I just recommend you wait until you're mature enough to know what you're doing. We've got to be careful that we don't have fun at the expense of our future. You can launch out, and the younger you are, the more apt you are to risk your future to have some fun. You know, there's some things that folks, there's some laws that you can break. There's some mars that you can get on your reputation when you're young. They could stay with you for a long, long time in life because you were having fun. So don't destroy your future to have fun. Don't destroy your testimony to have fun. Don't have fun when it costs everybody else but doesn't cost you. Make sure you guard your future. Hey, I'll recommend something, and it won't be long. This sermon will be over with. But let me tell you something. If you want to have some fun at your own expense. Learn to laugh at yourself. Now, you might as well. Everybody else is. If you will learn to laugh at yourself, others can never laugh at you again. They'll have to just laugh with you. You young men that feel like God may call you to preach, those of you that would like to be decent teachers and stand up and be used of God, my daddy taught me this when I was just a young preacher. He said, son, he said, you'll have to learn to embarrass your flesh if you want the Spirit to dominate in your life. He said, if you are paranoid all the time you're in front of people that somebody's going to look at you and they're going to laugh at you or you're going to embarrass yourself, he said, God's just not going to have liberty to use you. And my dad said, son, you lose yourself while you're up there. So don't worry about you while you're representing God. Worry about God while you're representing God. And so you've got to be willing to embarrass the flesh a little bit so that Spirit might dominate in your life. And so that's when you're around a crowd of people and they want to tell you a dirty joke and you're embarrassed to tell them you're not going to listen to it. Go ahead and embarrass your flesh. Go ahead and push you down and lift Jesus up and say, I'm not going to listen to that. But look, have fun at your own expense. Hey, look, folks, what a wonderful thing. Can you help people in life? There's a lot of tension in this society. So we have psychiatrists and anti-anxiety drugs and psychologists and anger clinics. You could help the people in your home by spreading some laughter around the house. Mrs. Owens told me this. We got married, and I am every bit a goof off. I laugh, and around her, I'm even more at ease. She told me this. She said, honey, please promise me as we grow older that you will never grow up. And that's one of those promises I'm keeping. But I like to goof off. I like to have fun. To this day, it is one of the thrills of my life to scare my wife. I hide in closets and behind doors. And I like doing that. Now, there may come a day when I'll have to stop it. I don't want her to die from a heart attack. But I'm all the time thinking about how can I scare that woman. And so, but you know, if we, and, hey, the family's represented here. You know something? If you'd laugh with your kids and laugh with your spouse, maybe they wouldn't want to go out and find somebody else to laugh with. And maybe there wouldn't be so much desire to go party and do all that. And again, I believe in soul winning, and I believe in the King James Bible, and think that ladies ought to dress like ladies, and men ought to keep their hair cut like men. I believe in the old-time religion. I'm not for rock and roll or country or contemporary music. You can call the roll. If it's out there, I'm probably against it. But I am for Christian families being an example of what Christianity is, and it's not serious all the time. There's some fun involved. It ought to be that as our kids grow up and they leave our home, they look back and think about some of the fun times and the good times and the happy times. That's what Christians are. That's what Christians do. Folks, when we get to heaven, we're going to hear God laugh. There won't be sin there. The devil won't be there in my Father's house where there's joy. Joy, joy. And when we get there, I don't think we're all going to be walking around in robes going, "Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya." I really believe that we'll serve God. There'll be work to do. But I think we're going to enjoy ourselves. I think that's what's going to make heaven wonderful. But learn to have fun at your expense. Let me tell you this also. The devil's fun is imitation fun. It's imitation fun. See, the devil's fun, you enjoy it now, you pay for it later. You pay for it later. And it always costs you more than he ever advertises. He never tells you the whole story. In every bait the devil throws your way, there's a hook that you'll swallow that will penetrate you and cause you to bleed. He's always that way. The devil's fun has a high price tag. The devil's fun will steal from you. It will rob you. Now, the Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but for a short season. In other words, you get started and you get the thrill. But the thrill stops pretty quickly. You know, you say, I'll go get drunk. Well, when you see the police lights behind you and then your insurance rates go up because now you've got drinking and driving on your record, and you jeopardize it very, very quickly, the fun, the initial fun, becomes terrible. Young men and young ladies, and I think they all ought to keep their hands off of each other and have no physical contact until they're married. But I'll tell you what, the touch, oh yeah, it's fun. But that fun can come to an abrupt stop when your passions get out of control. And just so you all know, you won't control your passions. You'll just have to keep yourself separate. You let that passion kick in, it'll get the best of you. You'll be doing things you never dreamed that you would do. And if the devil can, he'll take you all the way down. You'll end up pregnant out of wedlock or get a girl pregnant out of wedlock. And all of a sudden, the fun stops. It comes to a screeching halt when you have to quit school and you're embarrassed. You embarrass your mom and you embarrass your dad and you embarrass your sister and you embarrass your church and you embarrass your pastor and you embarrass your school. You embarrass your grandma. You embarrass your grandpa. You embarrass your uncle. You embarrass your aunt. Then you're going to have a baby. Now you got to pay for a baby. And you know what? That moment, and just so you all know, it's just a moment of thrill. I mean, it's like that and it's gone. That moment of thrill, there's pleasure in sin, but it's for a real short season. That's the way the devil is. The devil's fun is imitation fun. The devil's fun costs you what you're not supposed to pay. And so, I said this. Scriptural fun, you don't risk your testimony. Scriptural fun is not hurting others. Scriptural fun is not jeopardizing your future. Scriptural fun, you want to make it at somebody's expense, you let people laugh at you, but don't you hurt others. Scriptural fun, be careful, the devil's fun is imitation, and it'll hurt you. And I want to say this because it's just in my heart. Serving God is fun. I love it. I don't want to do anything else. To the point where I pray and I told God, I said, God, if there comes a day when you can't use me, kill me and take me to heaven, because I can't imagine anything else. I just can't imagine anything else. I'm having fun right now. Now, I'm telling funny stories and you're laughing and everything, but it wouldn't matter if this were the hottest sermon ever preached here and we were scorching the wallpaper off the wall, I would be having fun. I enjoy serving God. I enjoyed the fact that we watched a young man kneel here at the altar today and get born again. I enjoyed the fact that a young lady got baptized. I enjoyed watching the buses pull onto the property. I enjoyed tonight watching some of you laugh and enjoy the service. I enjoyed some of you singing the opener with the choir. I enjoyed watching the ushers come forth this evening. This is fantastic. I get paid to have fun. It's almost like being a youth director. Just if you're a pastor, you don't have to be deranged like the youth director is. Hey, fun. Fun is a united church, and fun is serving God, and fun is teaching Sunday school, and fun is watching God's people grow, and fun is watching. Not only did I watch somebody kneel and receive Christ, I watched somebody lead them to Christ, and I had fun doing that too. the Bible tells us there is a time to laugh. And so God was saying, this thing of laughter, I want you to have it. But if there is a time to laugh, that means there is the opposite. There are times when you don't laugh. So there are right ways and there are wrong ways. And so is the case with everything in the Christian life. God gives us guidance in all that we do. Hey, let's let the outside world know that we're happy, joyous, we're people that have fun. Our fun is just godly and clean. It's just decent fun. And let's let them see that. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me tell you, hell is a real place, and you'll die and go to hell, and the fun stops there. There's a real place called hell. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved so you can go to heaven when you die. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, Pastor, if I died tonight, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I do not know that I'm born again. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. But would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know that if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm concerned about it. All right? Who here would say, Pastor, I am saved. I'm ashamed of it. I know I'm born again. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. Would you raise your hand as a testimony and just say, I've been saved. God bless you. Amen. You may put your hand down. Tonight, the sermon, it's where we live. I want you to have a good time. Hey, tomorrow's a holiday. Have some fun. Enjoy yourself. Some of you need to lighten up. Now, some of you that are clowns, you need to tighten it up a little bit so you're not just a clown all the time. But at the same time, there are some husbands that need to laugh with their wives and wives that need to laugh with their husbands. There's some parents that need to have some fun with their children and children with parents. There's some brothers and sisters need to get some tension out of things. There are even some friends that just so serious all the time. There's a time to laugh. And even that, I think, is to be guided by the Scripture. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, I want you to feel free to come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need the altar for a moment? Every once in a while, it doesn't hurt just to come and pray and ask God for some wisdom, some guidance. I really do believe this. I believe that if you'll have some fun with your kids and they'll see some of the fun side of life, the joy of life, they may not search for fun in the wrong places as much. Having fun God's way. The scriptural way to enjoy life. And probably to every man in the house, hey, never grow up completely. Keep a little bit of that juvenile, light, fun about you. Continue to have some laughter and fun between you and your spouse, you and your kids. If you're a strong leader, I might recommend to you that you get some humor and some fun and some laughter in your life so people get to see that side of you. It's a human side of you. The Bible says laughter is a medicine. Keep you healthier. Keep some tension out of your life. This is the last time through the song, and we'll be on our way. Folks, you can remain standing. Thank you, Sarah.